Welcome to Dr. Levine's Medical Hour on News Talk 560 KLVI. Dr. Levine is a doctor of internal medicine and is ready to take your calls at 896-KLVI or 800-330-KLVI. You can listen to Dr. Levine's Medical Hour on the air, online at KLVI.com, or on your phone with the free iHeartRadio app. Now, here's Dr. Levine.
It is a wonderful morning, and thank you for joining us here on News Talk 560 KLVI. This is the Dr. Levine Medical Hour, and no, your ears are not deceiving you. This is a female voice. I would like to thank Dr. Levine for inviting me on. He is taking a much-needed rest and relaxation time for himself to recuperate, gain more knowledge, and obviously come back and give whatever information he can provide to you. It is definitely a pleasure and a blessing to be here this morning, and I would like to thank him for inviting me here. Once again, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, make any comments, we are here to answer any medical questions that you may have. You can call 896- KLVI or 800-330-KLVI. You can listen on the air at 560, and we like to welcome any internet radio listeners. We are live from Beaumont, Texas. As always, Dr. Levine talks about the weather, and it is a crisp morning, and he always definitely would like to say get out and be physical. 20 minutes to 30 minutes this morning of exercise, or walking, doing the yard, enjoying this breeze that we have, doing it here in Southeast Texas. We definitely are here with a lot of warm weather. So definitely enjoy that. As always, the show is guided by you, and we would like to make sure that you feel comfortable in making any phone calls here. We are open. Just to make sure that you're aware, you can always see Dr. Levine, Dr. Masanthi Levine, and contact his office at 347-3621. Dr. Levine is my older brother, and I am also Dr. Levine. I am a podiatrist, and I specialize in foot and ankle surgery. I am a physician of foot and ankle surgery. I practice here in Beaumont, Texas, where Dr. Levine and I were both born and raised here. Graduated from Westbrook High School, and actually decided to become a podiatrist based on the level of diabetics that we have in our family. And I also wanted to do surgery. So we appreciate the opportunity to come back home and be a voice and provide a service to our community. So I'd like to thank the opportunity of both Dr. Levine and Mrs. Charlotte for allowing me to come back home and do something that I have a serious passion for. I love what I do. I am blessed at what I do, you know, to be able to do what I do. And I hope that you can hear that during the show, as well as when you listen to Dr. Levine as well. I know that yesterday was Halloween, and I hope that in the event that all of you who do celebrate Halloween, that you had a safe an excellent Halloween night. Any children out trick-or-treating, or adults, for that matter, out trick-or-treating, we hope that you did some exercise while walking around the neighborhood, get a little brisk walk, and any candy, we hope that you take the time to walk this morning. In the event that you do not celebrate Halloween, we pray that you enjoyed your fall festival and enjoying, once again, this weather. In true Dr. Levine fashion, we would like to definitely touch base on some things that he likes to discuss. I listen to his show every Saturday, as well as our family, our mother, for sure, and Mrs. Charlotte. And it's always a blessing to hear him talk about things that are affecting our community. And in true fashion, I would definitely want to say that he expresses and likes to talk about knowing your numbers. So I'm definitely going to touch base on that. He definitely talks about that consistently. And I would actually definitely have to agree on knowing your numbers. It is definitely something that we discuss in my office as well. Definitely one that he brings up in knowing are the hemoglobin A1C. And, you know, a lot of patients who come into the office don't really know what that is. It's like, okay, and I don't know. So, you know, I like to sit and explain that to them so that the patient can understand what that actually means. A hemoglobin A1C, we would like to target around 6%, if not less. 6% is or translates to around 126 blood sugars daily. The hemoglobin A1C is a test of how many hemoglobin or heme in your body, which is the red blood cell, have sugars. And this this actual test measures the consistent blood sugars over the span of 3 months. So with that being said, a lot of patients who come in, they really don't know what their hemoglobin A1C is. And in the event that some patients come in and they may have either burning or tingling in the feet, or they may have a severe thirst or severe lethargy, which is a level of tiredness, a lot of times we test that and find out if they are obviously a diabetic or insulin resistant. With that being said, we test hemoglobin A1C, and obviously we like to target of a fasting and a before meals blood sugars to be around 70 and 130 versus 2 hours after every meal, less than 180. I want to let you know that, you know, in our office, we are definitely talk about hemoglobin A1C significantly, because with our patients that are diabetic, I always like to know, because that's going to let me know, you know, are you taking your medication appropriately? Are you following your regimen? Are you nutrition? Is your nutrition okay? And I'll be the first to say to my patients, changing your lifestyle and your diet is not easy. Both Dr. Levine and I come from a family where our mother cooks from scratch, from with butter, with a lot of things that have are high in fat and calories. And Dr. Levine and myself can also attest that it's just a change in lifestyle that we've had to make in order to be healthy and in order to not hurt and not have symptoms that, you know, will definitely be a negative impact on our body. And we have that discussion to, you know, in our office to make sure that you know things that you should be doing, things that you should stay away from, and things that you should obviously change. So with that being said, our hemoglobin A1C is something that measures how high the sugars are. And a lot of times I tell patients, I'm like, you'll know when your sugars are high. Your body will tell you. It is a situation where you start to hurt. Your, as I mentioned, your feet start to burn and tingle. And you have to understand that high sugars is like a piece of glass going through the blood system. And I think that when patients understand that and grasp that, and it's damaging everything in its path, your nerves need and require oxygen and nutrients. And when your sugars, it's almost as if you're driving in a car. The blood cell is responsible for bringing oxygen and sugars to the nervous system. And when you have high sugars, it kicks those inhabitants out of the car and the sugars go to the nervous system instead. And you have to understand that the nerves will die and you'll start to hurt. Burning, numbness, tingling. Any patients that come into my office, if they start complaining of that, we always draw a hemoglobin A1C, possibly a vitamin B12, which is also one of the building blocks of the nervous system. And we also like to make sure that the hemoglobin A1C stays at a certain level. Any medications that you're placed on, we like to definitely monitor if you're taking them, if they are effective, because every time your sugar goes up and spikes and then goes down and fluctuates, it is causing a hazard and a damage to your system. So we like to monitor that. And whatever we can do to obviously keep those sugars level, the better your body will feel. I tell a lot of my patients, it's typically with any burning, numbness, and tingling in the event you do have neuropathy. And understand that neuropathy is a situation where you lose the ability to feel. And a lot of times neuropathy can come in symptoms of burning, numbness, and tingling. So any patients who do come in, we ask those symptoms. We ask about those questions. Lower back pain, anytime you have a pinched nerve, that can also contribute to a neuropathic situation, as well as any other systemic conditions which prevent the absorption of B12, as I stated, one of the building blocks of a nervous system. And with that being said, you will always have a situation where the hemoglobin A1C is high, and some people don't understand that just one jump, for example, a 6 to a 7 or a 7 to an 8, patients come in with hemoglobin A1Cs at 14, and I'm like, honey, that means your sugars are running around 4 to 500. That is not a situation you want to be in at all. So we want to obviously try to control the hemoglobin A1C as much as possible. Anytime in my office, in the event a patient is diabetic, we always do a diabetic foot exam. I do one on every single patient that is diabetic because it gives me information as to how to treat them, their primaries, anybody who refers them to me, their endocrinologist. Because a lot of times I tell my patients, my job is to make sure I don't have to take you to my operating room. I don't want to take off any toes. I don't want to take off any feet. And I sure as heck don't want to have someone take off your leg. So because of that, I always like to monitor and we do a diabetic exam. We ask a lot of questions because the whole goal is prevention. Here in Southeast Texas, we see a lot of people who lose limbs that could be prevented. In my training, which I did a lot of in San Antonio, we did a lot of limb salvage. And, you know, I see a lot of people, you don't understand, losing a limb, even one toe, which is something very simple, can drastically affect your life. Not only if you lose one toe, do a lot of times you lose another, because the Lord gave you five on each foot. So you go taking off one, the body is attempting to try to compensate for the loss of that. And I try to educate my patients on how to take care of themselves. With that being said, the additional knowing the numbers, as Dr. Levine likes to say, is your cholesterol. We hear a lot of things about LDLs and HDLs and, you know, things of that nature. And cholesterol is definitely something in my office that we discuss. You know, as I stated here in the Southeast Texas area, LDLs and HDLs come from a large intake of what we like to eat at the local restaurants. That being things high in fat and calories, anything that's fried, smothered, deep fried, fried again. And with that being said, we don't want to intake a ton of food like that. And as I stated, I tell my patients it's not easy. It goes against the pure grain of who you are and how we were raised. So it takes a lot of effort to take some of those things and eat them less. Well, I'm hearing the music, so I think it's time for a break. Please give us a call, and we will see you in a moment. Thank you. And welcome back. Just want to remind you all that this is a listener-directed show. You can reach us here live in Beaumont, Texas on News Talk 560 KLVI. The phone number here at 896-5584 or KLVI. Definitely want to continue our conversation and let you know that, which I forgot to mention, that this is a Dr. Levine's Medical Hour. Dr. Masanthi Levine is on vacation, and I am here in his place. My name is Dr. Levine, and Dr. Levine is my older brother. I'm currently here in Beaumont, Texas, and we are open to taking new patients. I opened my practice here in January, and it's been truly a blessing. Once again, I'd like to thank Ms. Janet Montaigne, Brenda Anderson, Ms. Charlotte Levine, and Dr. Levine for assisting me, and I couldn't have, you know, proceeded or done anything or any of what I like to do without them. So I'd like to definitely thank them for all their help. With that being said, in the event you would like to come in and see us, we're taking new patients always. You can reach us at 833-FOOT. And so that shouldn't be a difficult number to remember. However, it's 833-FOOT, and we're located on the campus of Baptist Hospital near the adult ER. Once again, I definitely like to highlight that Dr. Levine definitely expresses a lot of times about knowing your numbers. And we're taking some time to kind of dissect some of those things for you. We left off by talking about cholesterol. And you have to understand, as we stated, that your diet and, you know, lack of exercise, especially in this area of Southeast Texas where there's not a lot of, you know, sidewalks and, you know, activity, especially physical activity that we do. You definitely want to, you know, try to incorporate taking brisk walks or doing gardening or getting outside and utilizing your body to exercise. And that can be in so many forms. Definitely we want to talk about cholesterol again, because you have to understand that the vessels, and all vessels are like tubes. Tubes that can either go from the heart to the feet, which we know as arteries. And then those vessels that carry blood and fluid from the feet back to the heart. And those would be veins. You have to understand that the size or the circumference of that particular artery or vein is one size. And when you start eating a diet in high fat and cholesterol, you definitely have to understand that this has to go somewhere. And a lot of times patients, we have what's called peripheral vascular disease. And you have to understand that that vessel is one size, and you start having a deposition of plaque or cholesterol, and that one size then now decreases. So you start out with a wide area or a hole, and then it decreases. And so you have to understand that it's taking more force to get the same amount of blood into a smaller area. And when you start having situations of higher cholesterol, of which I know that Dr. Levine draws in his office, you run a larger risk of having something like that. A lot of my patients come in and they talk about, well, you know, my feet are cold, or, you know, my nails are changing consistency. You have to understand that the body needs and requires blood flow. It is a very vital part of, you know, our body, and it is highly responsible for bringing a lot of things to tissues and bones and structures. And so when you starve the tissues, they go through changes. I can tell you that when you have adequate blood flow, your tissues feel very warm. And a lot of times I like to tell my patients, in the event that it's just like when you stand out in very cold weather, when your body, when the tips of your fingers become cool, they start to hurt. And the body is shunting that blood from the fingers back to the cardiovascular system, or to those things called our vital organs. And what happens is they begin to hurt, because it will sacrifice the digits in order to keep those vital structures warm. And a lot of my patients who come in with vascular disease, they're like, my feet are always hurting. And I'm like, pumpkin, if we don't get your blood flow back, it's not going to matter how much I throw at you. I don't care how many pain pills you're on. We have to reestablish the blood flow in the area. And a lot of times we test that in the office utilizing a handheld Doppler. I definitely palpate all vessels. And you have vessels in the foot and ankle that are there and are there for a particular reason. So anytime you have high cholesterol, you run the risk of having plaque in the arteries. And, you know, with that being said, you definitely have, you know, we didn't talk about the veins. And understand that patients come in, they're like, oh, my God, these veins are coming to the surface. I don't like the way they look. And that's, you know, a lot of times they become clogged. The veins, as I said, responsible for bringing fluid and blood back from the feet and ankle to the heart. And those valves that are responsible for pushing that fluid back up, sometimes they become compromised. And a lot of times, there are patients, because they become compromised, those are hurting as well. Sometimes they require procedure, such as an ablation or removal, but they do become engorged with fluid. And as we mature, we get older, like I said, those veins become compromised. But we definitely like to assess if you have any pain, if it's essentially an arterial or an artery issue versus a venous or a vein issue. And with the high cholesterol, you increase your risk. In the event that in our office you have been found to have an issue of lack of blood flow, we always, like I said, do the handheld Doppler. And sometimes it requires a referral to a vascular doctor or cardiologist here locally. Because what happens is you need to restore that blood flow. And if you don't, the tissues will die. Die. Gone. Forever. And a lot of times patients come in, you know, patients hear about grain green or, you know, things of that nature. and it is a necrosis. I just want to take a break and see. There's a caller we have on line one, and I'll bring them in a moment. Line one? Oh. No? Oh, sorry. Wrong. There's no one there. Okay. I see. How do you go about establishing adequate blood flow? Yeah, and that's what we're discussing now is, you know, establishing adequate blood flow. Understand that it becomes compromised by our diet and exercise or lack thereof of exercise. And you have to understand when those blood, when those arteries, which we have stated are responsible for bringing fluid and blood flow from the heart to the feet, you know, that's a situation where once it's compromised, you actually have to go in and have some sort of a procedure. That typically can be in the form of what they call as an angioplasty. It's essentially they open up the artery and almost take like a Roto-Rooter or like a Dremel, so to speak. And they actually attempt to clear out and debride or remove the actual plaques or buildup in the area. And sometimes that's enough to give you adequate blood flow. And there are times when that procedure is not enough. And these are typically done as an outpatient procedure. They place a large amount of dye or colored fluid into the vessels. And essentially you take a picture and you watch how the blood flow travels. And so as you do that, you're seeing, okay, well, are there any clots? Are there any areas? Sometimes patients also require what's called a bypass. And all a bypass is a fancy word for you're actually bypassing the clot. And the arteries, sometimes they do clot off. Sometimes it's a situation where you can't restore the blood flow with an actual opening and debridement or opening and removal of the plaque. And that bypass is essentially they take a vessel and they essentially loop, meaning they actually take it and they bypass the clot like a shunt. And then the blood then travels to the area that it needs to by bypassing that clot. So sometimes it requires a surgical procedure. And a lot of times that's why in the event that the tissues are cold or the feet are cold, we definitely like to assess that. And that's something that we try to educate the patients in my office is that if you get any cuts, any nicks, any bruises, any blisters, that will not heal, period. And that's a lot of times, you know, something very small can turn into something very catastrophic. I can tell you how many times something as simple as a patient going to buy a pair of shoes that I always lecture my patients, honey, the size shoe you wore at 20 is not the size shoe you wear now. And so you have to be measured appropriately. But something as simple as wearing a shoe that is an inappropriate size can cause a blister. And then that blister is a violation to the tissue. And when that opens, it's not going to heal. Something as simple as that. And so we always like to test the blood flow in the area. So hopefully we answered your question. And we definitely like to get the cardiovascular doctors as well as the vascular doctors involved locally to return the blood flow. But you can always, you know, like I said, tissues are always warm when they have blood flow. And you have to understand also, too, there's other areas where, as I tell patients, you should have hair on the feet. Okay, and a lot of my ladies, they like to shave their hair, and that's fine. But there is a natural growth of the feet on the, a natural growth of the hair on the feet, and it requires blood flow to do so. And I always take a look at that during our visit. Another thing is also the dryness of the skin, as well as the nails. The nail needs blood flow as well. And so when the nail becomes thickened or discolored, or it curves and you start to get these things called ingrowns, that nail is being deprived of blood flow. And those are always things that we tend to look at in the actual feet when a patient comes into the office. So it's very important that if they have a lack of the feet are cool, they start to hurt. You know, and another thing we definitely like to assess is if a patient has calf pain. You know, I always ask that question, and it's typically, okay, how long can you walk without the calves hurting? The calves are where your Achilles tendon is, and obviously the Achilles is one of the largest tendons in the body. And you have to understand that that muscle, it moves and it beats just like everything else, okay? It contracts, it relaxes. And as it does, it needs blood flow. Otherwise, it will ache. It's just like, you know what? I'm not getting what I need, so I'm going to hurt. And because of that, you have to understand that when the muscles don't get the blood that they need, they start to bother you. And so a lot of times I'll ask the patients, you know, do you begin to have calf pain when you walk? And if you do, then your body is trying to let you know what? I'm not getting what I need. And we measure that typically in blocks. I'll ask them, you know, how long, how many blocks can you walk without having a concern? And the patient will typically say, you know what, maybe 5 blocks, maybe a mile. And you obviously want to compare that in the event they come back in. Well, how long does it take for the calves to hurt now? And in the event that's the situation, we definitely want to assess the blood flow and get a cardiovascular doctor or a vascular surgeon involved. They do things like what's called an ABI, which measures the pressures. And a lot of times, because we just talked about cholesterol, when they do these tests, and it's almost like placing a blood pressure cuff on the legs, and it takes the pressure. And you have to understand that in the event that those arteries are non-compressible, which a lot of times happens because the cholesterol. That cholesterol essentially deposits in the arteries like we discussed, and because of that, you can't compress them, and so they become hard. Well, I think we are correct in stating we have a call on line 2. Oh. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. You're calling from Bridge City.
Yes, I want to let you know, first of all, I appreciate your information.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm enjoying the program.
Oh, thank you so much.
I also enjoyed Dr. Levine, but
yes.
I want to let you know.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you on the air.
I have a concern issue.
Uh-huh.
I have a vein that's protruding through my skin on
yes.
my thigh.
Yes, ma'am.
And I wonder, can that thing rupture while I'm asleep? Or?
Typically not. I would say, and that's what we were discussing earlier, is that those veins, which is, like I said, like a tube, there is actually like the fluid goes up, and then one of the gate before it closes, and then it pushes the next fluid up into another gate, and then that gate closes. It's a constant milking process, and a lot of times due to the accumulation of that fluid, those vessels just become larger and they become engorged with fluid, and a lot of times they come to the surface, and that's when they start to hurt. And I would say that in the event that they begin to hurt you, I would highly suggest going to a local physician and surgeon to assess that. I have not heard, now there are some that actually burst under the skin, but it's highly, it's not something that I see often. But if they are hurting, I would highly suggest you see a local surgeon who specializes in that for that condition. I mean, do you have only one on one side?
Well, I have one on my thigh and one above my ankle on
okay.
my leg.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And those are the only two, for example, the other leg as well. You don't have any?
I'm really not sure how I discovered this one. I was saving my legs.
It was probably hurting.
It has not. They have not been hurting.
Uh-huh.
But I was shaving my legs, and I cut the one on my thigh.
Oh.
I mean, the blood was coming out
yes.
like a fountain.
Yes.
It scared me to death.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you definitely want, anytime you have anything like that, you definitely want to apply direct pressure. And the vessel will clot off at some point. But definitely, if that's your situation, I would probably have to say we might want to get those checked out. Because
yeah.
I definitely would hate for you to compromise anything
right.
as a result. And I know that it's a situation where if that close to the skin layer, which is the epidermal layer, we definitely might want to get those checked out.
Well, really, it's protruding outside of the skin.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, yes ma'am. Because in the event that vessel is exposed to anything else, like, let's just say you brush up against an object or you have a little bit too much friction. In the event that they're that sensitive,
mm-hmm.
what I would hate for is to rupture that there or compromise that vessel there, and then we have a situation where you are bleeding. And so if they're that prominent, I would highly suggest we get those checked out.
Okay. Thank you for the information.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Thank you so much for calling. We greatly appreciate it. And anytime, especially if you get those things taken care of, we would love to hear you call back and let us know what happened.
I sure will.
Yes, thank ma'am. You have a blessed Saturday.
You too.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Well, we definitely like to thank Betty for calling in, and we appreciate her concerns. And, you know, as I tell my patients all the time, that when, you know, Dr. Levine and I always love to stay abreast of information and technology, because it obviously provides us with a better way to help our patients. And we always like to be on the cutting edge of what's new and what's innovative, because the medicine changes consistently, constantly, all the time. And with that, you know, we definitely like to read and stay up on literature. And we always like to hear from our patients and talk with our patients and learn about them. And so we greatly appreciate Betty for her call. Well, I hear the music again. So it is definitely time for a break. We'll come back. Remember, you can always call at 896-KLVI.
From your place to ours, neither one of us.
Well, well, once again, we're back, and we'd like to thank all of our callers, of which we have another caller here. We definitely welcome any calls, and we're going to go ahead to line one. Hi, good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Awesome.
Something that might be just a little bit closer to your specialty.
Uh-huh.
In elderly people, I notice where the big toe will make that angular move and either turn in or turn down.
Yes.
How important is it to get that corrected?
You know, I tell patients, and I'm assuming you're talking about a bunion. Is that correct?
Well, it seems to be right at the last joint of the toe. The toe turns under.
Okay. You know, sometimes we have contractures, and sometimes I ask patients, like, does mom or dad have it? Does grandma or grandpa have it? You know, because a lot of times the things that we have are inherited. Typically, when you have contractures like that, it's typically at a joint. And that particular joint that is at the big toe is one that is affected. You know, I always, whether you're talking about a bunion or whether you're talking about a contracture, you know, the bunion is at the actual big toe joint as well. But it's an angular deformity. And a lot of times I tell patients, look, since it's inherited and it's progressive, meaning the more you walk, the more it progresses. If you are a person who had more of a sedentary lifestyle and you didn't walk as much, then it wouldn't progress as fast. But as far as getting corrected, if it's not, this doesn't cause you any pain or any areas where you have breakdown, for example, redness, or you develop an ulceration, then I would say as long as it's not bothering you, then you should be fine. Now, understand that if you do have a contracture, that area is actually either prominent on the top or on the side of your foot. So you just want to make sure that you're getting the appropriate shoe size when you go and, you know, be fitted for shoes. So as far as correcting it, you don't have to necessarily get it corrected unless you're having an issue.
Okay, so if you try an exercise and you're conscientious about it. In my case right now, I'm talking about a personal condition.
Sure.
And the big toe on my left foot has it's almost like it is withdrawn, but it's withdrawn at an angle in toward the next toe.
Right.
It causes a little bit of redness on the top of it.
Yes.
Where it rubs on my shoe.
Yes.
Not broken the skin at this point.
Well, I tell my patients, I'm like, look, you have to understand, when you see that redness, that is actually blood going directly. That's what you're seeing under the skin layer. And so that blood is going directly to that area, and what you don't want is for that area of the skin to open up, and that's when you get an ulceration.
Yeah.
So that is actually a pressure point that you're accumulating throughout the day. And because of that, you want to make sure that you definitely want to buy appropriate shoes, which I always tell my patients, go at the end of the day to buy your shoes. Why? Because your feet swell. And so you want to make sure that you go at the end of the day and you actually allow the salesperson to fit you. And you always want to allow them to fit you and then walk around the store. Don't simply stand up in place, but you actually want to walk around the department store, not in the carpeted area, actually on the hard area. So you can get a feel for how they fit, what their cut is, and so you can make an educated purchase, okay? But if it's red, I would say that you want to watch out for any areas of openings or any ulcers that will develop, because that's what's going to be next in the event you don't do something about it. So definitely watch it.
Very good. I appreciate it.
Well, it is our pleasure to help you, Joel. We greatly appreciate your call. And as always, in the event you do seek treatment, please call us and let us know how that turned out.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed Saturday.
And you.
Bye-bye. Well, we have another caller on line two. Charlotte from Vider. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. I don't really have a question.
Okay.
But I just wanted to let you know that people are listening.
Uh-huh.
And I am very, very much impressed over the information that you give out.
Oh, thank
my
you.
My husband is diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really bad neuropathy,
mm-hmm.
so what you're talking about is really informative, and you are explaining it very well, and I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for calling us and letting me know, because you never know how the information is received to your patients or to the general public, and so I greatly appreciate you taking the time and calling us and letting us know, and I'm glad that you were able to receive information from it. So,
yes,
you know,
and the, I'm talking about the A1C and the things like that.
Yes, ma'am. You
I
know,
have to watch that as well as my husband. He's diabetic, and
mm-hmm.
I almost became, but I got on track. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, just I tell patients that, you know, just because you're on medication right now, you don't always have to be on that medication once you change your diet and lifestyle. I mean, a lot of times patients are chained. They change the medications, or sometimes they can be taken off of medication. So, you know, praise God for you that you were able to get it under control and, you know, obtain some level of clarity and clearance from that. Because and so we appreciate you giving us a call, and thank you so much for, taking the time and letting us know.
Thanks for being there today, and I always listen to Dr. Levine. I found him
yes.
very informative.
Yes.
He talks about you a lot, so we appreciate that, too, because, you know, it's nice to know you're here.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed Saturday here.
And you, too.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Charlotte, for giving us a call, and we thank you for taking the time out of your Saturday morning. We actually have a caller on line three. This is Sandra from Houston. Hi, Sandra, and good morning.
Good morning, doctor. How are you, Dave?
I cannot complain, love.
Me either. The dogs and I are on our morning car ride, and I listen every Saturday as
uh-huh,
well.
Uh-huh.
And I have September 2nd, I fell off my bike. I was training for a little bike ride, and
okay.
I fell off my bike, and I fractured my sacrum. Okay,
wow.
And then like two or three weeks ago, I was doing some kind of heavy lifting, but it felt fine as far as that went. Everything kind of did okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I twisted wrong or whatever. Anyway, there was severe hip pain,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in the middle of my buttock. And
uh-huh.
I went to the doctor this
mm-hmm.
past week. I gave it 2 weeks. And then I went to the doctor, and she put me on Neurontin
mm-hmm.
and ibuprofen 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, I guess, how do you know if it's just the nerve and the muscle versus something else being pinched maybe from the fracture?
Sure. Well, you have to understand, and that's why I ask a lot of times when patients have foot pain, you know, have you ever had any lower back problems? Because that same nerve in the back is the same nerve that's coursing down the leg to the actual foot. And anytime
okay.
you have any trauma or pathology, like patients who have degenerative joint disease or spurs, you know, their spine is responsible for, there's a joint in between each bone. It's like a stack of blocks, I tell my patients. It's like the building blocks we used to have when we were young. You stack them one on top of the other, and in between there's this jelly-like substance, which is the joint. And then in that area, you have a nerve that comes out. And anytime you have any pathology, that nerve can become compromised. And so understand that if you have had an issue with a traumatic situation, then definitely the nerve can be impacted. Sometimes
okay.
it can become swollen, and, you know, that can definitely be a situation where you would probably be placed on anti-inflammatories. But any sort of trauma, the body is like, hold on, we need to send some inflammatory cells to that area. And that's why
okay.
a lot of times this area can be swollen, and they can place you on some anti-inflammatories. And it looks like in your particular case, the physician felt as if that you needed to be placed on, you know, Neurontin, and, you know, that is a common drug that we prescribe for neurological symptoms. Now, and I always tell my patients that you want to give these particular types of drugs at least 2 weeks to show any positive effects, because these particular drugs are in a class of drugs that are responsible for the nervous system. And a lot of times in crossing the blood-brain barrier and those areas where it gets into the bloodstream, that you want to allow that to obviously take a systemic effect. And so a lot of times patients come in the office and they're like, oh, my God, I was placed on this medication. It's not helping me. And I was like, honey, I understand, but you want to at least give it 2 weeks. And I would say as long as you give it about 2 weeks, then in the event that you don't experience any positive effects, I would say that those medications can also be tweaked as far as the milligrams and the amount of times you take it per day. But allow it some time. And I would say a lot of times if you've gotten an x-ray, especially on the sacrum, a lot of times your physician will also order what's called an MRI. And I tell my patients an x-ray is something where you see only bone. So in the event that something else is damaged, like any soft tissue, any nerves, any joints, you can see those structures on an MRI. And in the event that several medications are tried or you're not experiencing any positive effects, I would say that's probably what will happen next.
That would be the next step. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And she said to be sure and take the medicine faithfully. Take it every 8 hours, just like that. Okay.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am. I would tell you, too, a lot of times, especially with those particular drugs, because you have to take them 3 times a day. You know, I don't know about you, but I even have an issue taking pills once a day, let alone 3 times. And so understand that can be challenging sometimes because you're like, wait, let me go take my pill. So that's why they say, you know, you want to take it faithfully because that is the dosage for the actual pills and you just don't want to miss it.
Yes, and I have been taking them, and then my husband wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I do take them, and they are helping, but I was just concerned. I was like, okay, is it just masking the symptoms, or, you know, what do I look for afterwards? And I did ask her whenever I was there. Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
All right, you have a great day.
You as well. Thank you, Sandra, so much for calling. We appreciate Sandra for taking some time out of her. Oh. And we actually have one more caller, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Well, we're coming up on the last segment of our show here, and we have one caller that's been patiently waiting. Her name is Miss Wilma, and I'm going to bring her in. Good morning. Buenos dias. How are you? Miss Wilma?
Yes.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Levine. Uh-huh. I'm just calling to let you know that we're so glad to have you there, and you're a blessing to society.
Oh, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, and I'm so glad that my spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're saved.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
I can tell you it's nothing but the grace of God that's gotten me this far.
There you go. That's it. Without His grace, no one can be saved. But by grace, are we saved through faith, not that of ourselves. It is a gift from God.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to say I had a sister. She's in heaven now. She got a brand new leg. She had her leg amputated.
Oh,
her left one.
She
got a new leg. She's walking around in heaven.
Well, good. Wonderful.
And also, I talked to Dr. Levine. Well, first, my sister that lives here, Margaret. I would say, my buttocks, if I may say, is hurting. And she said, mine too. But she said, you know what that is? That's sciatic. And I said, I had never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like people that I talked to, looked like most people have it.
Yes,
and neuropathy.
Yes,
and so I say neuropathy and sciatic are like kissing cousins.
Yes,
and
they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and so
ma'am.
Dr. Bean told me, as I called one morning, he said, that is a simpler term, pinched nerve.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
That's what it is. And I would feel like, my leg was so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work at stores and I do a lot of walking. And he said, what you can do also, agitate it. So sometimes I do walk too much, but I'm fine. I'm not literally fine with it, but what I'm saying, it does not. You know, hurt till I do agitate it like Dr. Levine said.
Yes, yes.
Do too much walking. But I'm believing by G stripes, I am healed.
Claim it.
Like I said, I met a man. He was wobbling at the cash register counter.
Uh-huh.
So I said, what's wrong, too? Because I knew him. So he said, I got neuropathy. And he's crippled. It's a crippling disease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, I'm going to be lifting you up.
Amen.
So thank you for being there. But what
yes,
I want to ask my question is, amen, oh, this is flu time, cold time coming, but I'm not claiming that for myself or no one else. But anyway, oh, what can you use? Is it a supplement, Dr. Levine, for, your immune system?
There are a lot of supplements patients take to increase the immune system.
Well, let me interject. Dr. Levine said, eat your vegetables, and you know, I do that, and drink plenty of water, which I do. But is there a supplement, dear?
Well, what I would like to do is when Dr. Levine comes back next week, I would like for you to actually ask him that question, because we have less than 1 minute left on the show.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
And so I appreciate you giving us a call, and I would definitely defer to him for that.
Well, he had already told me vegetables, you know, but I forgot to ask him, was there a supplement? Amen. All right, well, good day and have a happy day.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Glad to see you doing the work of the Lord.
Yes,
God
ma'am.
Bless. Love you, and God be with you.
Wilma, we thank you for calling, and the time just always passes by so fast, but this is Dr. Levine, Japara Levine, and we are here in replacement of Dr. Masanthi Levine, and we just appreciate the calls, and thank you. We hope you have a blessed Saturday and weekend, and we look forward to seeing you next week.